That's the doctrine. And for a man to come to you and say, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord, was offensive. You don't need to do that. You're already saved. Because if you feel that way, if you know in your heart that that's what you need to do, then you're going to question this doctrine that we're preaching. You're in direct opposite of this gospel that we're preaching, because there is no need for a rededication if you already dedicated yourself. Well, this man knows in his heart that he needs to be rededicated. He knows in his heart that he is not where he needs to be with God. How can you take that away from him? How can you tell him anything different? And then you're going to give him some scriptures to read and say some prayers. And I say, how can you say, okay, you're trying to get back into the house. You outside of your house. Your plate of food is sitting on the table waiting for you. You're outside of the house. I'm going to give you a fork and a spoon and a knife outside of the house and tell you to eat. You can't pray to God outside of the will of God and expect God to respond to your prayers. You don't know him. You can't stand outside of the camp and say, well, God has laid in my heart to rededicate my life to him, but I listen to my wife, this preacher, and the preacher they bought from out of state. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because instead of leaning on that tree of life, I made a decision what was good for me and what was bad for me. And I said, man, you're going to miss it. No. I know what I've done was right. You don't know him. And you won't know him through somebody else. You won't know him through that preacher. And he says, well, I've been in the gangs and I've got shot in the head and the Lord spared my life. You don't know why God saved my life. I say, yes, I do. Why? Why he saved my life, since you know everything? I say, he saved your life for this day when he placed in your heart to rededicate your life to him. Because that was God that was talking to you and you denied him. Now, I don't know what's going to happen after today. He spared you once, whereas you weren't supposed to be here, and you glorying in that. But when he calls you to repentance, he called you. I didn't tell you. The preacher didn't tell you. He told you. And he put it in your heart that you confess with your mouth that this is what you need to do, because, you know, your state of being wouldn't do it. Jude 1:10. He would not do it. I don't know him. Jesus talking about Michael the archangel contending with the devil, disputed with the body of Moses, didn't bring regular accusations, but said the Lord rebuke thee. But these people that resist the truth speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Brute beasts, naturally known things, not spiritually known, because everything of God is spiritually discerned. So this guy knows what he knows naturally, but he doesn't know Jesus Christ spiritually. And he didn't know that he was being called spiritually. He did not know that God was calling him at that particular time. He couldn't see it. And he leaned on the understanding of men. Then he told me, said, hey, you're not a preacher. I said, everybody a preacher. Well, you're not a pastor. I said, I don't have to be. I don't have to be a pastor to tell you what God's word said. A pastor didn't tell you that you needed to rededicate your life. God did. And you turned your back on him, essentially. You need to repent. Acts chapter 2. Everybody needs to know Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ must be known, must know you. The Son takes you to the Father. The Holy Spirit comes to get you to take you to the Son. And then the Father gives you His will to do by the Holy Spirit. Man of God preached a sermon here two weeks ago about how God is working the whole salvation experience out all within Himself. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is nothing outside of the Trinity of God that is salvation. Everything must be engrafted into that. Salvation works from God sending the Holy Ghost to call people and reveal Jesus Christ unto them. And then Jesus, in turn, fills you with the Holy Ghost to bring you back to God to do His will. And we just along for the ride. But some kind of way, man wants to, I want to get in there and do something. I want to do something. I got to do something. I can't just receive it. I got to do it. I got to do something. Well, the disciples spent a lot of time doing stuff. But when that persecution came, they realized, I'm not able to do this. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Ghost. God's answer to man to receive the Holy Ghost. The only way to make it out of here is the Holy Ghost. Acts 5:32. You ain't got to go there. If we obey the commandments of God, we receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ left here. He was glorified on the cross. And to leave us the Holy Ghost in order to do His will. This was a man filled with the Holy Ghost of God. As with these disciples, they were filled with the Holy Ghost in order to become martyrs. Now, Acts is full of the Acts of the apostles and the persecution that came along with it. So the point that I'm trying to make is that the persecution that's going to come from knowing Jesus Christ and knowing who He is going to reveal to that individual whether or not they know God or not. Because it's coming. I watched this young man, whom we talked about earlier, the guy that worked with me. There was nobody around him. You know what I mean? What he's going through something right now that when I looked at it, I was like, you know what? Am I able to go through that? Because the media, now, a lot of folks don't like Donald Trump. I don't, either way, you know, he's the president. But Donald Trump speaks out against the media. The media do a work on you. Me and my wife had an experience with the media. We had went to the courthouse. We lived in Gwinnett County. And one of the, you know, the most famous Fox 5 newscasters, she always everywhere. She out there just getting reports. And she come up to us. We're going to the courthouse. And she says, hey, how do you feel about illegal immigrants in y'all's neighborhood? And I'm like, well, I don't feel no way about it, you know. I have some folks live across the street from me. They're fixing up their house a little better than mine, you know. They're a bunch of contractors. They out there, y'all, you hear, you know. And I'm like, I don't have anything against the people. Well, you know, they're living like five to a house, and there's multiple families in one house. So, well, you wouldn't know from the outside there was multiple families in that house. So what difference does it make? Okay. The news came on. They showed pictures of some slum apartment with tricycles and clothes. Don't nobody have clotheslines anymore. They had clotheslines in the back with them wooden pins on it. Tricycles upside down and toe up, you know, hula hoops. And I'm thinking, this is the kind of stuff that they bring to the neighborhood when they have multiple families living in one home. And I'm like, that's not what They asked us. They went and showed a picture of something that didn't represent anything that they asked me about and totally changed the whole story. And then they cut it. They cut what you say in like they one, but I don't think anything wrong with it. Then it's like, something wrong with it. You know what I mean? They kept wrong with it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this man said there's something wrong with it. Wrong with it. And it's like, hey, I didn't say that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but they splice you, and then they take on the people that support their, you know, with their story. And it's like, man, this media. So when Donald Trump said, y'all a bunch of liars. Y'all a bunch of liars. Y'all a bunch of liars. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, I ought to vote for you just because of that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, a lot of people don't like Donald Trump, but yeah, that's right, because I remember. But so I see this guy on TV, and I'm like, man, they doing a work on him. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, pulled up records from like when he was like three. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he pushed that big wheel and dented his mama car with it. He threw that rock and broke that window. And I'm thinking, how in the world they know all this stuff? And then now, if you Google his name, it's like, boom, everything right there. And I'm like, wow. So you know what I done? I Googled my name. Man, some white dude with, you know, low hair. Like, that ain't me. That's not me, you know. That ain't me. That ain't me. Unless I have to go undercover. Like, grow my hair. No, I ain't going to be able to do that. I'm sorry. I ain't going to be able to grow my hair long. So, but I was like, man, they doing the work on this guy. And this guy just, you know, everyday guy. But when the devil has his sights on you, when this world turns on the body of Christ, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. There is no way to walk under this hatred, under this persecution, under this slander. They're going to slander the body of Christ, and they're going to use media power to do it. Jesus said, the servant is not above his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And the Bible says they took him before kings and governors for a testimony. They're going to bring us up before kings and governors. I saw the news. Every time somebody, I come to work and they're sitting in the corner whispering. It's like, you knew him, so. Hey, I seen him on the news again. I was like, really? Do you know what I do? Go to my computer. I ain't even see it. What time he came on? Man walking by himself. Lonely. And I started to meditate on that and how God was showing me it's a lonely, lonely, lonely road in persecution. But you got the Holy Ghost. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But the Holy Ghost of God will be in you to comfort you in every trial and tribulation. I started meditating. I was like, man, how many people know me? Really, how many people know me? You see, the Bible says, no man after the flesh, know him after the spirit. The fruit. You see what I'm saying? So if you are able to be a discerner of fruit, then you're able to see what's in front of you at any given time, the Holy Ghost. Long time ago, first got saved, I knew everything. I knew God, I had like two scriptures memorized, but I knew everything about God. I heard those messages. I bought in, but I'm good. We went to the AU Center. I know, Sister Roe, remember? You too, Dana, Omar. We used to march that campus, boy, praying it down. We was out there soldiers. We're going to pray around the AU Center and get them souls saved over there, boy. That before they blocked it all off. But when I first moved up here in 94, found Omega Ministries, Phyllis Wheatley, YWCA. I've been passing through there all this party down there, riding out, just passing by the Y every weekend, just like hanging out. Oh, Morris Brown, I'm hanging out, just chilling. Never knew I was going to be sitting up in that building one day, born again. So I was like, oh, you know, I played my cards out here. I seen a man get killed out there. We was out there, guy got shot in the head. Right down the sidewalk, looking at him like, dog, at the AU Center. And we just trudging through there. So I was like, you know what? I'm giving back. We'll get out here and I'm going to walk these streets and I'm going to pray and bind the devil, because I was out here too. And somebody prayed for me. So I go and I'm walking and I'm walking and I'm walking. And I'm by myself. Either I was filled with the Holy Ghost or just too stupid to know. You know, yeah, you're by yourself, fool, you might get knifed. But I ain't care. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the hood anyway, you know. Pastor Father always say, keep that hood in you. I'm from the hood. Look, I ain't worrying about none of these fools messing with me. I know the Lord, and I don't care. I'm out here. Man, I'm walking along, and then I hear somebody say, Tim. I'll tell you another story another time, but Tim. It passed the price. I'm like, man, he's slowing my roll. The pastor's slowing my roll, man. I'm moving. You know what I'm saying? So I'm marching in place, waiting on. Come on, man. What you doing out here? I said, man, I ain't see nobody else over there. I was like, I had to go. He started ministering to me on the way going. And I'm praying. We just praying. He's talking. We walking through a neighborhood that looked like at any minute there's going to be a shootout. You know? And he was like, what's the difference between people who are go and people who don't go? I don't know. He said, fear. And I was like, okay. He said, but you got to overcome fear by going anyway. Now, I was just too stupid to be afraid. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't afraid, but I didn't know I was supposed to be afraid because I was just going in Jesus' name. You see? So I was like, okay, well, all right. Good talk, brother. You know, I already know. I already know. I'm telling you now, you get to a point when it's just like your kids. They already know. You can't tell them nothing. I already know. You be like, okay, boy. All right. You already know. I know. They cut you off. Mom used to tell me, boy, don't cut me off. But I know. I know. First thing come out, famous last word, I know. So we walking and talking, and we walked all the way around the building. Pastor Price pointed out every church building. I mean, every potential church building. Hell, you can get this building right here. Y'all think doing this tabernacle is something that's just, this has been in the works since. I've known, 1994 was when I moved up here. And this plan has been together all that time, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to propel this thing forward, you know? So I'm walking and I'm talking and I'm like, yeah. So we get back to the meetup spot and we met up with another sister. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm talking and I'm hobnobbing with the elders in the church. And I'm every bit of 21, something like that. And so he says, the devil's been coming at you. I mean, I talked to this guy at work. He be coming at me with all this craziness, but I see the devil. You know, I see him when he coming. I see him coming down the aisle. I know the devil. And I was rebuked sharply. Like, hey, boy, watch it. You can't see the devil. And I was like, I see the devil all the time when he coming. He always in my face. And I be telling him, get out of my face, Satan. He's like, boy, you dumb yourself down. And I left that conversation thinking, man, they just don't understand. I know the Lord. Why are you telling me I need to come? Slow down. I mean, they ain't hear what I had to say. Anytime you leave in a conversation with any elder in the church or anybody member, and you saying, they don't understand what I'm saying. They understood what you said. You don't understand what you said. Because that thought, because you didn't receive what was told to you, that thought has you questioning what you said. And you're examining what you said to see if you said it in the right way. That right there is evil. Yielding to the chastisement. Do not try to meditate on, maybe I should have said it this way. If you do that, you're going to justify what you said. And it's wrong. Because you had to try to fix it up where it made sense. And they heard you right well. So I left there. I drove home. I ain't listen to no music. I ain't listen to nothing. It just bothered me. It just worked on me. That's how God do me. He just worked on me. I can't think about anything else. And I drove all the way home thinking about that. And I was like, they just didn't get me. I know the Lord. And they didn't understand. Next day at work, I worked for Rooms to Go. I was on my forklift. You know, we got those long forklifts. They got a bed on the back, stand-up lift. You're riding up the aisles. You got to turn down the aisle with the little steering wheel. And you pick the furniture. So I have to load up, you know, 7, 8, 10 sofas at a time or dressers at a time and put them up in the racks. So we unload off the dock, put it up in the racks. And if they need to pull orders, we got to go down the aisle, pick it, and pull the order and take it back. So I was really good at my job. And God's anointing was on me. Because I was able to, like, my forklift moved real fast. And I was able to get stuff done and find it real quick. So I went to, they moved me to another department where I was the finder. Simmons, we can't find this on the aisle. It must have been put in a different place. Can you find it? Yes, I can find it. No. So I'm going to find it. I'm going to get my blinders on. I'm going to find the part. So I'm looking everywhere for it. So the sofa's over here. The dresser's over here. So I'm digging through furniture. Diving over armchairs and stuff. So the guy said, hey, Tim, what's up? Hey, where's this sudden? I was like, oh, it's over there on the dock. I'm like, I don't see it. I'm like, man, let me show you where the thing at. And I walked out into the aisle. See, the aisle, like, rooms to go is like 285. You know, you got your aisle that go down the center, and you got this big loop that go around, forklifts. And I was inside of that little loop. I was like, man, it's right over there. And I walked out into the aisle. And I didn't see it. I barely heard it. But when I looked to my right, it was a forklift with a stack of tables, flat, laid flat, right here. And the guy that was driving the forklift was livid. He was, boy, you want to hear some cussing? And immediately, you can't see him, came to my mind. And I dropped my head and was like, those words that were told to me, you can't see the devil. I see the devil. He told me, say, man, you'll be looking one way. This is exact words. And the devil blindsided you from the side. You ain't even looking. And that's exactly what happened. But by the grace of God, I'm standing right here today. Because that man hit me with that pallet. And he was wide open. And he'd hit me with them pallets, I probably wouldn't be here. With those tables. Because those were real wood. And immediately I understood and I repented. So I'm saying, y'all don't have to go through that. Y'all can just listen to me. Y'all have to go through the tables and nothing falling on your head to make you understand. You can just listen to me and get it. Listen, we don't know what we think we know because we got to know who we need to know. We need to know Jesus Christ by his spirit alone, not by deeds, not by anything other than a relationship with him. That's the only way to make it through this persecution that's coming, because it's coming. This man walks the streets by himself, lonely. I was looking at the news. I was like, man, it's lonely. That dude, look, there is nobody there. All those people that know him, nobody there. Same way with Jesus. All those people that were fed and, you know, healed and nobody there. Nobody there. And then the man that was trying, he tried, Peter, God bless him. He tried to stand up, you know. He ain't had the Holy Ghost yet, so, you know, hey, can't blame him, you know what I'm saying? But when he got the Holy Ghost, buddy, 3,000, one sermon, that's power. Because all he needed was a vessel that was yielded. And when Peter understood, I don't know him, I really don't know him. That confession was not to degrade Peter. Jesus already knew he didn't know. He know we ain't know. And he know we ain't gonna know until the Holy Ghost until we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. He know you ain't gonna know. Just like the guy told him, you ain't gonna do it. You ain't gonna go and give your life to the Lord because you're listening to too many people. He already know. We don't know what we think we know, but God knows. So, the Holy Ghost of God, the only way to God. Please focus on the Holy Ghost. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, please pray for the Holy Ghost. There is no work inside of this gospel outside of the Holy Ghost. There is no anything in the gospel of Jesus Christ outside of the Holy Ghost. There is no church attendance. There is no nothing outside of the Holy Ghost. Because the final decree says, I never knew you. I never knew you. Not once known and forgot. I never knew you. You were never known to me. Now, you know, God got the power to wipe his memory clean. And he can blot your name out of the book of life at any given time. So we want our name to stay in there permanent. And the permanent ink is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost inscribes it permanently in that book. It can't be erased with the Holy Ghost. So my encouragement today, y'all, hey, I don't know anything but the Holy Ghost. Because that's what we need. Jesus Christ will impart to you, through obedience to his word, the Holy Ghost of God to fulfill this mission. There are souls that need to be saved. And we need supernatural power to intrude into this natural mind. Cut down this tree. We need to cut it down and dig up the roots. That tree in the way. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That bad boy in the way. We need to gut that thing and just uproot it and dig it out and dump it. Because everybody, as a child coming in, don't know. But it ain't just Peter. We ain't know what we were doing. And when God started to reveal to you what it is that he is requiring from us, he told Paul, look, I need this man. Because I want to show him how many things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. So there's suffering in this thing, but the Holy Ghost comforts you through all suffering. Amen. It comforts you through every trial. If you're thrown in the prison, the Bible says someone's going to be thrown in the prison. That praise song going to start turning in your spirit. Start turning in your spirit. Sing some praise. Every temptation, the Bible said, just count it all joy in James. When you're thrown into diverse trials, knowing that it works in patience, it's there to make you over. The trials make you stronger. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. He was the way. The way, you're going to suffer for the truth. But the Holy Ghost of God, we need the Holy Ghost now. Right now, you know, no waiting, no hesitation. We need the Holy Ghost right now. In order to go on into anything that looked like salvation. Because the words that's coming forth, it can only do so much. The Holy Ghost empowers the word. It reveals the word. There is no revelation given unto man that didn't come from the Holy Ghost. Because it reveals to you Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost of God is the missing element in the church world. Because nobody wants to abdicate authority of their own, of this vessel which was bought with a price. Nobody want to give up God's body. This thing is just a walking, talking cross. It's ironic that the cross was made, you know what I mean? It looked just like a man standing with his hands out. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says you take up this cross every day. You take up this nasty flesh every day and make it follow Jesus. And the only thing that matters, this don't matter. So persecution is going to come to the flesh. The only thing that matters is that inner man. Yeah, right. When I look down into you, Jesus said, do I see me? Have I ever interacted with that? Yeah. Have I known that? Have I even heard about that? Yeah. Can't get to that throne and say, hey, I don't know you. I never knew you. That's hurtful. It's hurtful for you to tell a child. You have a child that grow up and go wayward, and you like, I don't even know this child. He grew up in my house all this time. And you went and done something so bizarre that the parents got to sit back and say, is this my child? Yeah. That's the same thing that Jesus is going to say. Because he is the husbandman that's bringing us into a relationship with the Father. He's the son that's bringing us into the relationship with his Father. And everybody know when you go over somebody's house, hey, look, my daddy said, you don't go in that room. Don't, hey, my daddy coming home. Don't. That's how Jesus run his house. The Holy Ghost comes and say, look, don't do that because you're going to offend the daddy. You're going to offend the father. Don't do that. You're going to offend the father. Just like Omar prayed this morning. You're going to offend the father. Don't do that. Don't do that. But if you don't have that, if you don't have that son that's obedient, then the wayward son just come in and do whatever he want to. And yeah, that other son going to tell on you. The good son going to tell. Cain and Abel. I'm going to give God what he asked for. Cain like, I'm going to give him this. And then get mad. How you going to get mad when you gave, he didn't ask for that. Hey, but I didn't want to go to my brother and say, hey, let me get one of those, let me get one of them lambs, brother. Can do that. Well, I ain't asking him for nothing. I'm going to just give him this. And then get mad at his brother. Same way the church going to get mad. The body of Christ, there's going to be a separation that takes place. And the religious folk going to get mad at the chosen bride that's filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to get mad. And they're going to want to hurt you. Because my daddy, he disowned me. No, you disowned him. Because you didn't come to him when you had time. You see, Rashid preached a message this past week. Access granted. You got access to the Father. Take advantage of it. The Bible says day going to come with, or night going to come and the man can work. You got to work while it's day. You're not going to be able to work after a while. These days that's clicking by are not going to be here. They're going to be shortened. And it's going to get dark. Say this wrapping up. I had a dream a long time ago. The saints of God, we were all in this little bitty house. Had a little porch, a little covered porch. We sitting in the house praying. Everybody in there praying. Well, outside the house, out around, I'm on the porch looking around. It's chaos. It's total chaos everywhere. Fighting, killing, police chasing folk, gunfire, explosions, everything. It's just like the Wild West. I've never seen anything like it. I can't even explain how insane it was. And then somebody come get me and say, come on. And we go back inside the house and pray. I come peek out there again. It's just a mess. We in the house praying. Well, I peeked out one time. It was nice and peaceful out there. But all of those people had trained their forces on that house. On the praying folk. You want to know why? The Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost comes, they're going to train their sights on God in you to destroy that light. And you got to be filled. We praying now. Prayer line running every night. I'm going to get on now. I'm going to be on the prayer line because that convicted my soul. But prayer running forth every day for God to pour out his spirit. People prayed in the upper room for God to pour out his spirit. And when he poured it out, they hit the streets hot. In the book of Acts, all of that came with persecution. The emphasis is on getting the Holy Ghost, not the persecution. But you understand that it's coming with it. Tap into the Holy Ghost. Don't worry about it. Because even though they were persecuted, they kept on right on anyway. Because either they didn't know no better or they knew who they knew. Then come with enticing words of man with them, but a demonstration of power in the spirit of God. So, I never knew you does not apply to the saints of God, but those who think they know God and don't. But everybody needs the Holy Ghost. If you don't have him, you need to pray for him to receive him today. Right now, everybody stand up. We'll pray that everybody will receive the Holy Ghost. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need the Holy Ghost, Father. We need the Spirit of God to engulf our minds and our souls, Lord God. We need a fresh anointing that no man has ever seen before. Right now, God, we yield unto you. We yield unto you, Lord, for an outpouring of your spirit. Pour out your spirit on us, Father. Pour out the Holy Ghost of God. Pour out your spirit, Father God. We can do nothing, Lord God, outside of you. Lord Jesus Christ, you said you give us a comforter, and he will abide in us forever. Give us the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in this place. Have your way in us. We yield unto your spirit, Lord God, according to your word. It's an evil world out there, Lord God, full of deception, full of wickedness. And Lord, we sanctify ourselves unto you, not leaning on our own minds, our own wills, our own flesh, but we yield unto the Spirit of God to lead the way, because you know the way. We need to know you, Lord, and we need to be known by you. Pour out your spirit, Father. Baptize those who have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Pour out your spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. There is no way to do this work. There is no way to live this life outside of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Do it, God, for your glory, for your honor, for the sake of your Son, for the sake of Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, showing us the way into you, Father. You desire to bring us into a relationship with you, Father God. It's your desire. And we yield unto you. But we need to be baptized in the Spirit of God to face anything that's coming and to stand fast, having done all to stand. Stand in the name of Jesus. Outfitted for war, Lord God, to stand against the works of the devil. Destroy every work, Lord God, of Satan. Empower your people to cast out devils, to heal the sick. Open blind eyes, freely give and freely receive. We're not afraid, Lord, but we know the need. We know that we need you, Lord. There is no way to make it without you. The Holy Ghost of God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord God. And Lord, we ask that you receive these prayers as a sweet savor unto you, Lord God. Be honored today and every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I hope this ain't my last time up here. Got to brush up on my skills a little bit. It's been a long time since I stood before anybody. But I pray that you guys were blessed by it. You know, you never know. You know, man, woman, it don't matter. God called your number. You got to step up. You know, and I appreciate it. I think it's an honor. I really do, to be called upon to represent Jesus Christ. I really do. It's a humbling thing, buddy. You know, you gotta look at your life like, look, okay, I gotta be right now. You can't stand up there and represent Jesus without being right, you know. Hey, you know, you gotta not try to look, but it was inside. Be like, okay, Lord, I ain't got no unconfessed things up here. But it's real, you know, it's real, y'all. And I just wanted to share with you that something that God has shared with me, you know, and just keep in remembrance. Like I said, it's not a spirit of fear that I'm trying to project. It's a spirit of understanding and knowing, because God knows, and we got to find out what he knows in order to make it through down here. Everything is given to us. We can't give anything to him but a body and let him work through us. And the Holy Ghost comes to do just that. So my prayer as body of Christ is to receive the Holy Ghost freely, without resistance. You know, the longer we resist, the longer it takes for him to come upon us. So I just ask you all to commit Everybody on live stream, to commit your hearts to the Holy Ghost. Not doing works, not running, trying to start no ministry, not trying to preach, not trying to. The Holy Ghost. You got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost in order for this thing to take hold of you. And if it doesn't, then you're just in the flesh. And I don't want to hear those words. I refuse to hear them words. So I'm going to do everything that I know to seek the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Y'all be blessed. Have a good week.